Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're back live tonight. This is June the 8th. I thought you were going to say that. June the 8th, 2012. Had to say that so you'll know it's not a recorded show. And we are continuing to have our authors and our speakers on, because we're getting ready for our 7th Transformation Conference, and that's in July. What are the dates, Julia?
13th to the 15th in Rogers, Arkansas. Woohoo!
It's not going to be very long now.
No, it's very close.
Oh, the way time is speeding up, it's not going to be long at all. But it's the 7th Transformation Conference, and we have that conference. We began to showcase our authors and to give them a chance to speak, and it's really grown. And I think they enjoy it, even though some of them are very nervous about getting out there. They haven't done any of it before, but not our guest tonight. She's had experience, you know. But still, it was a showcase for our authors, and this is the 7th year that we've done it. Transformation Conference, July 13th to the 15th in Rogers, Arkansas. And before I bring our guest on, I want to give out the toll-free number of anyone who wants to call in and ask questions tonight.
Of Sherry.
yeah, because we're going to let her talk for the first half hour to tell about herself and about her books. And then anyone who wants to call in is free to do so. But the number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And our guest is Sherry Cortland, and she's been our author for a while because we have published two of her books.
Right.
And so we're getting to know her pretty well. Mm-hmm. I think she's spoken at one or two.
Two, and this will be her third time.
Third time to speak at our conference, because every time people come up with something new, then we have them on again.
Oh, she's an excellent speaker.
Yes.
As you will find out tonight.
Okay. But she has written two books, Windows of Opportunity and Raising Your Vibrations for the New Age. So she's going to have two different topics that she can talk about. And also, I think she's going to bring up what she's going to be speaking at the conference. And Sherry's going to be doing a workshop after the conference is over, too. How many hours is that going to be?
It's a four-hour workshop on Monday morning. And we're still tossing it, Sherry, if you want. Right now it's set for 9 to 1.
the time?
Eight to 12. So we're kind of still playing around with that, but it's open.
as long as you get me on a plane so I can be at work on Tuesday morning, that's fine.
Exactly. Okay. So that's what we're working with. So
yeah, we have all these authors. We have to get all this straightened out with all of our authors. But the conference is over Sunday night, and then Sherry will do her workshop on Monday. Okay, but our guest is Sherry Cortland, and as you can hear, she's already on the line. Okay, Sherry. Now, the first thing I always like the ones to do is to tell everyone about yourself, your background, you know, how you got into doing the writing and everything. So
sure, well, I'm hard to shut up, as you know, so I'll just keep talking. You got to interrupt me when you want me to stop. But actually, this is going to be my fourth conference. I'm so excited that I'm coming back for the fourth time. Yes.
Oh, I remember, I think it'd been that many times.
Well,
yeah,
so
yeah.
And I know you've been on my show here before, too.
I have been on the show twice before, yes. So I'm so honored to be here tonight, and I'm so looking forward to being at the conference. And I'll tell your audience just a little bit about me. I'm just a regular person. There's nothing special about me, and I have a regular job that I work at. And then in my off time, I communicate with my guides, and I do that through a process called automatic writing. I've been doing that since the 80s, sometime in the 80s. The dates, I'm getting older now, so I don't remember the exact dates. But I had been doing a lot of a lot of searching for the truth and wanting to know just what is the truth of our existence. Why are we here? Why do we have to put up with the things we put up with? Why do we have to suffer through all of these things? I just wanted the truth. And I had been reading a lot of Ruth Montgomery books and saw how she was communicating with her guide group through automatic writing. I thought, gee, that looks great. I would love to do that. I tried and tried to do it for weeks and weeks and weeks and sat there at my kitchen table like Ruth did, and absolutely nothing happened. I got nothing. And I started taking some psychic development classes, and one night the teacher said, tonight we're going to work on automatic writing. And having the big mouth that I have, I stood up in class and said, that will never happen for me. And as those words were coming out of my mouth, Spirit grabbed a hold of my hand, and the next thing I knew, I was drawing the most beautiful circles you've ever seen in your life. So that was my first contact, and I did get tired of circles very quickly, so I asked my teacher what to do, and she said, well, you need to sit down and you need to ask Spirit, who is it? Who am I speaking with? And as soon as I did that, the name Jeremy was written on the paper, and he is one of my main guides for this incarnation. And then Jeremy and I got started, and we were writing every day, which was wonderful. And then every now and then, a different guide or entity would come in, give me some interesting stuff. And I was very happy, until the day that Jeremy said, it's time to write a book. At that point, I was scared to death, did not want to come out of the spiritual closet at all. I was afraid about losing my job. I was afraid about what people would say about me or to me. And anyway, there's no arguing with Spirit. I learned that pretty darn fast. And I wrote the book, at Windows of Opportunity. That was the first book. I wrote it, stuck it in my desk drawer, and thought to myself, well, there, I did it. I wrote your darn book. But they did not leave me alone. They actually wanted it published, so I had to start sending it out to publishers, and that's when I met you guys.
You had a kind of a job that you could have been fired from, wasn't you? Was it corporate America or what?
Yeah. I worked for a very large timeshare company in Orlando, Florida, and I was very, very worried about what people were going to say. But very interestingly, when Windows of Opportunity came out, and this being the age of social media, I mean, it's hard to hide anything when you've got Facebook and that kind of thing, you know, out there. It wasn't long before people at work knew about the book and knew what kinds of things I was writing about. And I was very surprised that instead of making fun of me or ridiculing me, people were pulling me aside as fast as they could to tell me that they had similar experiences, or they wanted to do automatic writing, they wanted to contact their guides, and they were just so happy to have somebody to talk to about these things. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, because I think that's true of a lot of people. You know, they're afraid to speak out, and then we think we're all alone. And mm-hmm. once you start mentioning, a lot of people are having the same experiences.
Right. I so agree. And the further you come out of the closet, the more people you meet that have the same questions and are on the same journey as you are.
Yeah. But we're finding now people are getting more braver, I guess you would say. They're not so afraid of speaking out because they're finding more and more people are into this. We're finding it everywhere we go.
Well, it's the waking up process.
Yeah, the whole
waking up
and coming to this whole new world we're entering now.
I no longer have nightmares of being burned at the stake for heresy.
That was another life.
That was another lifetime.
Yeah.
Little residual stuff there.
Yeah, Julie's been there, done that. She was burned at the stake in another life. So we know what it was like.
Right. Maybe that's where we know each other from, Julia. Maybe that was our first lifetime together.
Maybe.
But anyway, nowadays we don't have to be afraid of that. You can say what you want, and if people don't understand, it's their problem.
That's right. It's a great new world that we're in.
A lot of things are going on.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed when you said at the beginning what you're saying, how you got into this, is very similar to, I think, Janie's talk last week and even Victoria's talk the week before when they were talking about how they're going to, they said they had been searching, they had been asking, they had been looking, they were wondering, asking all these questions, and then here, it's like the same path. It's like that's the first thing to
ask.
You ask, you're looking for answers, and then that takes you down this whole path.
Absolutely. So really, no, I've read both of their books. Their books are excellent.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you might, yeah, talk, well, you go ahead and carry on. You've got all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, you know, this is my fourth time back, and I haven't submitted my new book to you guys yet. I just finished it last weekend, and now I'm too busy writing my speech and my workshop to finish up the final draft, but I'll get that to you, you know, right after the conference. So I've been very busy working on my speech, and what was I going to talk about? Because I didn't really want to talk about the new book yet, and I wanted to talk about something that was important for right now. So I settled in and asked my guide groups to give me some information, some inspiration, and what they thought would be good would be to talk about living in the here and now, spiritual growth through awareness. And the heart of the talk is really all about being present, living in the moment, and watching what we think and say. Things that sound very cliché-ic, but are very, very important for our spiritual growth.
Absolutely. It's all about what we think. I mean, it's our thoughts are things, and our words are things. And everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's a little something that I've been noticing from the emails that I've been getting and the letters I've been getting, a little bit of soul sickness that I'm calling the rapture bug. So I'm going to talk about that also and how to avoid that. And that comes about from so many of us who want very badly to transition, and we're kind of forgetting about the jobs that we have to do right here on good old 3D Earth. So I'm going to try and bring us all back to 3D Earth and get our heads out of the clouds from 5D.
Yeah, because we have to live here first. You know, this is all part of it. And, you know, the other is coming, but we still have to live our daily life.
Well, it kind of goes back to, you know, and I'm guilty of this a lot. You know, when we take trips and everything, a lot of times you want to hurry up and get to your destination, and then they're always saying, you know, that you forget it's the journey.
Yes.
That's the most important part. Well, we came here to go through this whole process and get to this journey, you know, this destination. But I think we're forgetting. Yeah, we're all looking for the destination, and we've got to remember we came here to be here for this journey. And so,
yeah,
that's the here and now. So,
yeah,
wonderful.
Exactly, exactly. And I have so many people that are saying to me, oh, I just don't want to do anything. I just can't wait to transition. And I just want to take them and shake them and say, stop it. Don't you know how important you are? You're important to you. You're important to the planet. You're important to all the rest of us because we're all connected and we can't do this alone. You know, we're all here together and we have to remember that. So that little soul sickness called the rapture bug, I'll be talking about that also.
Well, and that's one of the things I thought was really great in raising our vibrations. One of the key things that you pointed out was the more of us that are working together to do this, the easier it makes it for everybody else to make the shift. Because it is hard. It's going to be hard for people. You know, it is a big jump. It is some stuff going on. But the more of us that help, the easier it will be for those that aren't aware of it at all.
Yeah, but there are a lot of them that don't even know anything's going on, but yet they know something's happening to their body, things seem different, but they don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the rest of us.
Well, and the whole Earth stuff, all the Earth climate, all of that smooths out the more we all work together for this. So like you said, yeah, we got to remember that part.
Yeah, we have to remember that we're connected, which obviously is much easier to do when we're not in body. When we're in body, we kind of feel all alone, you know, and we've got the whole ego thing going on that makes us believe that we're on our own, but we're not. We're not. We're just also intricately connected, and the sooner that we wake up and we realize that, the better off we're going to be and the easier we are going to get through all of the shift and all the things that go along with it.
Yeah, because I get so many clients, you know, they come to see me, oh, I feel all so alone and don't have anybody. And I said, you're never, ever alone.
Never,
you're
never
alone. You're not
alone
all through your life, and you're not alone when you leave this life. You've always got somebody But even these other people feel they're different and something because they're believing these things and trying to understand themselves. But there's now I'm finding hundreds of thousands of people out there who are waking up and they're all feeling the same way.
Well, here is one example right here. She's like afraid to come out and everything. And then when she did, she's really, all these people around her were always in, you know, they're all around her and she didn't even know it. So.
No, I had no idea. And, you know, and a funny thing happened at work just this week. I'm sitting there in my office, and somebody comes in and very, very quietly and closes my door, and he starts to talk to me about metaphysical things. And I understand that you write books, and I said, well, because I don't advertise that in my day job, really. You know, I try to keep it separate. And I said, well, how do you even know this? And he said, oh, I saw your book downstairs in another department. I thought, oh, that's incredible. I wonder who's reading my book downstairs, you know? And then we started to talk and talk and talk. And it's just amazing. People that you would never even think had one single metaphysical bone in their body or any such inclination are now feeling so comfortable to be able to come out of their own closet and talk with other people. I'm even thinking about starting a little meetup group for folks that I work with who are interested in the truth and finding the truth and being on this journey. And that is something I never thought would come out of my mouth, you know. But there are that many people there that I work with. And if they're there, they're every place. We're every place,
like I
should say.
I said, they feel like they're alone, but actually when they begin coming out and talking about it, there's a whole lot of people right around them.
Yeah, I think you made an excellent point when you said that person came in and it wouldn't be somebody you would have ever thought had a metaphysical bone in his body. That shows you that we cannot tell from this perspective. You cannot judge anybody as far as, oh, you're going to go and you're not going to go or anything. We don't know.
No, we do not know. And I have known that man for over 10 years. And yes, I've always thought that he was one of the nicest people that I've ever met, but I had no idea that he was interested in these things. And the whole judging thing, I mean, that was huge, both in Windows of Opportunity and Raising Our Vibrations for the New Age. Both guide groups were very, very clear that, you know, we cannot be throwing stones because we have no idea who's where in their development. We don't know who's playing the role of a relationship villain. We don't know who's here to learn what. We have enough trouble trying to figure out what we're here for, let alone what somebody else is here for. So the judging is just so counterproductive. It's counterproductive. It doesn't help us create positive energy. We just spew out negative energy. Doesn't really help us attract light. Doesn't help us raise our vibrations. What good does it do?
It holds
Don't
you
see
just
it. Yeah. Yeah, just hold you back. Just hold you back.
Yeah. That's so huge. I love how you word it in there too. So it is. It hits you over the head. This is what stop.
Just stop it. That's it. We have the power to do that. And, you know, and that's what the workshop that I'm going to do. 4 hours, I know that that seems like a long time for a workshop, but
It'll fly. You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, I've been doing workshops for a while, but, if somebody has a choice between 1 hour and 4 hours, I always think, oh, they'll probably go with the 1 hour because they think they can't sit there for four. But I'm hoping with my intention, I don't ever say the word hope really, my intention that the folks who come, they're gonna get their power. They're gonna feel very, very empowered to take responsibility for their own spiritual growth. And my plan of action here is to give them a toolbox to help them get started so that they can really take some gigantic steps forward spiritually.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I've broken it down into basically three segments. In the first segment, we're going to talk about karma, windows of opportunity, and relationship villains. And we're going to see, this is an intensive. This isn't just a lecture by me. This is going to be work. Anybody who comes needs to be prepared to roll up their sleeves and really get to work spiritually. We're going to figure out what our hot buttons are so that we can avoid creating any new karmic debt. We're going to develop an understanding of windows of opportunity and relationship villains. We're going to start to develop our skills so that we can spot them, which will help us learn our lessons faster and with less drama and less pain. And who needs all this drama? I don't anyway. And the second segment, we're going to talk about communicating with spirit, and we're going to learn how to communicate directly, highlight, bold, underline directly with our guides and our angels, and we're going to learn how to do that through meditation and automatic writing. Of course, automatic writing, right? Look who's teaching it. And then we'll do a guided meditation to meet our guides and angels. I'm going to do a little automatic writing demonstration so everybody can see that it's really not a scary thing at all. And then everybody in the group will try to do it. And here's something that I noticed more and more as I do workshops. In the beginning, when Windows of Opportunity first came out back in 2009, I would do a workshop and show folks how to do automatic writing. Maybe 1 out of 10 people would be able to do it. Now I see 7 out of 10 being able to do it right away, that first time. So that just shows you how the vibrations are being raised and everyone is opening up to that.
Yeah, that's and what then, we were saying. We're seeing it everywhere in our lectures, everywhere we go. More and more people are really understanding this.
Yeah, you see it evolving. That is fantastic.
Yeah, you just see it in everyone, and it just makes people feel so good that they can sit there that first time they're trying and make contact with spirit, and that's just such a great thing. And then in the last segment, it's going to be all about chakras. What are chakras, what they are, why balancing them is so important to our health and our happiness, too. And then we're going to learn about the importance of chakra colors and how to use sound and color to balance our chakras. We're going to practice the seed sounds or the mantras, depending on what you call them. And then we're going to do a chakra balancing guided meditation. And then at the end, we're going to do an Arcturian energy meditation that my guide Aknanda from Arcturus wrote in order to help us raise our vibrations and spot our windows of opportunity, kind of a last meditation to tie everything together. And everybody who comes to the workshop is going to get a workbook that's going to be filled with exercises to do at home. And along with all of the meditations that we do, those will all be written out. Plus, I'm making a special CD for everybody who comes to the workshop, and that will have all the meditations on it, all the guided meditations, and all the seed sounds, too, so that everybody can practice at home what they're going to learn during the workshop.
Sherry, I don't think 4 hours is enough time.
It's been timing myself
for hours.
I know. I could go all day, but I'm gonna give a lot of homework. I don't want to scare anybody away from my workshop, but guys, there will be homework.
But look! Oh my goodness,
it's gonna keep them busy, really.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Oh, and you know, the most important thing is this. You know what? It's so easy to live on poor me avenue and blame everybody and everything for whatever happens to us. But coming to the understanding that we plan our lives, we plan what we're going to experience, and taking responsibility for those things and moving from poor me avenue to take responsibility court, that's a very big thing. And as we start to take responsibility for our own lives and the things that happen to us, at that point, we can really start to move forward and expedite our spiritual growth, learn our lessons, have our experiences, and also enjoy this beautiful planet that we all live on. So that's my goal, anyway.
Well, that's what I always talk about, too, and we did a workshop just a few weeks ago out in L.A. about how you create your own reality. You're responsible for everything in your life. If you don't like it, then change it, because that's how you're writing your script, and you can do it. And we're all responsible for everything we put there.
And I think that's so empowering. I know some people at first, they might be angry if they want to stay on like you. I love your wording there. What did you got? The pity party.
Poor me,
Avenue.
Yeah,
I love it. You know, if they're not quite ready out there, but to me, it was like, it's so empowering when you finally realize, oh, I did all this, so that means I can change all of this. And somebody else did it, you know, then you can't do anything. But all of a sudden, you shift and you realize you have some control here. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know,
yeah.
So, yeah.
But you realize that it isn't any more poor me, the
right.
pity party.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the pity party's over. But it's, easier.
Oh.
It's easier to be on Poor Me Avenue than to take responsibility for your own life. But there's no growth from that.
Absolutely.
Then you got to come back and do it again anyway, so you might as well get it over this time.
Dolores, thank you. Yes, yes. You're here already. You worked it into your lifetime, these experiences. Learn the lessons and move on so you can go on to something else down the road. Why keep working on the same thing over and over and over again?
Yeah, that was what I tell people in my classes, too, is that, you have to finish this one class, this one grade, before you can go on to the next one. And a lot of people keep repeating and repeating the same mistakes over and over, drawing the same people into their life. And where was I going with that?
Oh,
that's an excellent analogy. Well, they are. They're creating their own life script by trying to learn the same lesson and drawing the same types of people into their life. That's exactly what Windows of Opportunity and Relationship Villains is all about.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They keep drawing all these things into their life, repeating the same things over and over again, but you have to get it done. But you have eternity to do it. They, the powers that be, don't care how long it takes you to learn it, to get it finished, because you have eternity. But do you want to take eternity to get over one little thing before you move on to the next
thing? No. I want to go play out in the universe. I want to see what else is out here. I don't want to keep learning how to avoid control freaks, which was one of my big problems in this lifetime, my big challenges. I'm glad that's done and behind me. Who wants to keep living that forever and ever?
Yeah, going around and around on the wheel of karma. This is where we get done and move on. But, Sherry, you've been bringing up relationship villains. Go ahead and explain that to people,
and the windows of opportunities, because you mentioned, I know we discussed it before in other shows, but if you could remind everybody what those are, both of those.
I would love to, yes. Well, when we're getting ready to come back into body, to have an incarnation, to live a lifetime, we decide what it is that we want to learn, what karmic debt we're going to repay, what karmic debt we're going to have repaid to us, and we kind of sit down, just picture this like a big conference table, and we sit down with the people that we're going to be incarnated with, we sit down with our counselors, our guides, and we figure out what it is that we're going to do in this next lifetime. So if you kind of visualize your upcoming life plan as a book, each chapter in that book is a particular lesson or experience that we want to have. And into each chapter, we insert multiple scenarios or situations that we have painstakingly constructed to make sure that we have ample opportunities to reach each and every one of our life goals. So a window of opportunity is something that is going to pop up for us, a situation that's going to pop up for us where we can learn a particular lesson. Now, if we don't spot that window early on, that's okay. We've created many windows of opportunities to learn the same lesson. That's the good news. The bad news, though, is that as we miss one window and go on to the next and the next and the next, they get much more difficult, much more dramatic, because we plan them that way because we really want to wake up and learn this lesson. So my guides say that it's better to learn the lesson on the ground floor than it is in the penthouse. Much easier, less drama, less pain. So again, that's something that we're going to be talking about in the workshop, and of course, that's what the basis of the book Windows of Opportunity is about. But in order to deal with these windows of opportunity, we have to have somebody to open them up for us, and that's where our relationship villains come in. Relationship villains are really the catalysts that open our windows of opportunity. And what the guides say about relationship villains is that a lot of times the people who annoy us the most, people who really get on our nerves, the people who might run into us with their car, they are the people who create the windows that open us up for the learning experience. Somebody has to be the catalyst to open up that window, and that's the relationship villain. So in my workshop, we'll talk about how to recognize relationship villains, how to recognize windows of opportunity. And one of the best and easiest ways, Dolores, Julia, you were both talking about this earlier, scripts. Life scripts are nothing more than a series of windows of opportunity where we have not yet recognized the lesson that we need to learn. So if we take a few minutes, sometimes it takes more than a few minutes, and this can be a painful thing, but if we sit down and we examine our lives and we look for these life scripts, we can spot what the lesson is. We can examine how we've dealt with these same situations as they've come up, sometimes with different people, sometimes with the same people, but all similar types of things, and we can examine our behavior, and then we can start to change our behavior so that we're ready. The next time a similar window opens, we're not going to treat it the same way that we have in the past. We're going to charge at it in a whole different way. And those changes, whatever changes we make in our behavior, our attitude, whatever it is, hopefully will be the right ones that will help us go through that window. And if we don't make it through that time, we know that we didn't get the right combination. We work on it a little more. The next time we attract a similar situation, we change it a little bit more, and then hopefully we go through it. How do we know when we've gone through a window? Well, the same situation stops repeating itself. Our life script ends. That's how we do it. So, you know, that's basically what they are. I mean, there's more to it, and I'm going to go over how to spot them and how to move forward with those tools in your toolbox.
Yeah, a lot of these are not pleasant experiences because everybody has bad things that happen in their life. That's life.
Everyone.
But
right.
I always ask the person, did you learn anything from it? And if they learned even one thing, that was the reason for having the experience. But then if they say, no, I didn't learn anything, it was just a bad experience, well, then they're going to have to do it again until they finally figure it out.
Right,
so
and that's
what you
script.
Have to be more aware, you know, of what's going on around you.
Right. Exactly, yeah. And if you learn to spot those windows early, if a situation happens to you that you don't love... You know, you can think to yourself now that you've got this, you're armed with this knowledge, huh, I wonder if that was a window of opportunity. I wonder if I learned my lesson. What lesson could there have been there for me to learn? And then, if you didn't learn it, you will attract a similar window to yourself, and then the light bulb will go off, and you'll say, I remember when this happened last time. This is what I did. Obviously, that wasn't the right thing to do. Let me reexamine this. Let me look at my behavior. Let me look at my attitude. Let me see what I can do to change this. And that's how you have to do it. And as your eyes are opened and you're awake to these things happening in your life, you're going to start to recognize those windows much, much earlier. People will not have to be like me and go through 3 marriages and 2 engagements with the worst control freaks that you've ever met in your life trying to suck up all your power from you. You know, had I known these things early on when I was in my 20s, I would have saved a lot of men a lot of grief. Not just myself, but other people, too.
You would have saved yourself a lot of grief, too.
Absolutely.
See, you had a question for you.
I did have a question. You've pretty much answered it. You actually summed it up and everything, but I think there's still a little part there. I'm going to say, what if you do recognize the window early on the ground floor? What happens to all those other scenarios that you set up for yourself in case you missed it? And you said, okay, they see the life script cease to exist. But I was thinking about, you know, there's some situations where you get it. You know, you finally get through it and everything. And then it's like you get a situation similar again. It's almost like it's testing to see if you really got it.
Hmm. I would say that you didn't get it.
Okay.
I would say that you didn't get it because if you got it totally, or, you know, maybe you made some progress, but there's still a little something, a little piece of it that you need to learn. So a similar situation comes into play. Maybe it's not quite as bad, you know, as the other one because you just have a little piece left. But once you learn the lesson, you don't have to worry about all the other scenarios that you created. And let me tell you something, Julia, you don't want them because we are very interesting when we're on the other side. Our imaginations know no bounds as we come up with difficult and interesting slap-you-in-your-face ways for us to wake up and learn our lessons. It's so much better to learn them early on.
Sherry, I do know how creative I can be on the other side. I like you, am hard-headed, and I have to learn the hard way. So I don't get it always on the first floor. I waited, I think, on some things till the penthouse. So, yes.
I have lived in the penthouse for decades.
But at least you won't do it again anyway.
No,
that's
right.
Finally, pounded it into your head.
Once we wake up, we wake up.
Yeah, we always say you'll get hit over the head with a 2x4.
Well, I call it a 10x6 because I need a bigger board.
Yeah, well, at least your guides didn't make you write 2 books detailing all of your most embarrassing things.
Well, don't say haven't yet.
Oh, are you working on that?
I'm being told to write a book now, too, and it's coming. Not all of it's being told to be said yet, but I'm being told to shed some things, yes. I mean,
Spirit
is
amazing. So you get to use yourself as an example. Oh, you're going to love that.
I know, yeah. They're already making me do it when I talk, and it's like, oh, geez.
When I go back and look at these books, I think, oh, my gosh, what were my guides thinking when they made me put this in here? I don't want anybody to know about this. But if it helps somebody else, then it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, it's too late now. It's already in print. That's a problem.
Oh, it's way too late. Yeah, it's way too late. Too late for me, but not for Julia.
Right, yeah. I'll keep up. But you're right. You know, Spirit's demanding. They can be very demanding.
Very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, you signed on for it before you came
in. Exactly, yeah.
Oh, stop reminding us,
Dolores.
Yeah, it's true. I know that. I realize that we have the contract to do these things. But again, I say, what were we thinking when we were on the other side? It all sounded so easy and like so much fun.
Well, I usually say I must have thought a lot of myself.
We're very cocky when we're on the other side.
I agree.
That's what I find in my all the time, too, is over there it looks very easy. Oh, I can handle that. But then they get here and it's, oh my gosh. You know,
yeah.
Like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Write a book? I said I'd write a book? No way. Throw it in the drawer.
Well, that's probably how you're saying, how many books am I supposed to write?
Yeah.
I know.
I write the books, but I didn't know it was going to be this many.
It was the same way. They were demanding. You were. It was. You know. It was like you must do this.
But I had a testing time. I call it the testing time when you can back out. You still give a little time. If you don't change your mind, you can still back out.
Yeah.
But I had to do it. There was no choice.
Yeah.
There really is no choice, and that's the bottom line. Because Spirit just pushes you and pushes you and pushes you and won't leave you alone. Until you do what you're going to do. But Dolores, I got to say, I'm hoping 3, 4, 5 books maybe for me. I'm hoping it's not 35 books like for you. You should have read the fine print in your contract.
Is that how many you see for her, Sherry?
I don't know. 35 is coming into my mind. I don't know why. I hope that's for Dolores and not for me.
I've got 17 out there now, and I'm working on 3, and it's a toss-up which one's going to be done first. So.
Oh, you work on them simultaneously. I love that. You know, I just finished Convoluted Universe 4. Oh, my gosh, that is a fabulous book.
And I wrote that under a strict deadline. I wrote it while I was traveling and finished it in Australia while I was traveling and lecturing and giving my classes. Every spare moment I was back in the room, I was working on that because it had to go to the printers.
Yeah,
and
I got the feeling Julia was cracking the whip.
Yes.
Definitely.
Well, and I was back here in the States. I was guided to stay here. I sent my daughter with her. I didn't know why I wasn't supposed to go on the trip. Until we came up to this, it was so we could relay this book back and forth and get it done. That's what there you go.
Thank goodness for technology, because we could do it with the, send a chapter, and then she was doing it. I would have liked to have had a little more time to go over it again, but everybody says it was fine.
No, it's great.
But it was really a rush job. Sherry, I took 300 pages out of that book.
Did you really?
Because I didn't think I could possibly get it done with this whole one section, so I took it out, and it's still, 600-700 pages?
Mm-hmm.
So that 300 pages is the basis for another book.
So wow.
I'm not going to, that's for sure.
Well, you know, ladies, that gentleman that I was telling you about earlier that came to my office to talk with me, we started talking about different books, and I said, have you ever heard of Dolores Cannon? And he said, no. And I said, well, I'm going to bring you books tomorrow that you must read. And I brought him the Convoluted Universe series 1, 2, and 3. I'm still hanging on to 4 because I'm still looking it over. I like to read it once and then go over it more slowly the second time. So I've given him those 3, and I know he's just going to devour those because, you know, in my mind, the way that, you know, back in the 80s, we had Ruth Montgomery and we had Shirley MacLaine, you know, and their books were, they were must-reads. But now I really feel like Convoluted Universe is the go-to series for people that are just starting out because it covers so much. A little bit of everything is included in those books. It's like taking a college course in metaphysics to read those books.
So you don't think they're too... I feel like they're the deep end of the pool. You don't feel like they're too...
Do you really?
Deep.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because when I wrote Convoluted 1, you know, I thought, well, is anybody going to understand this? And I wasn't sure about it. But
at that time...
And everybody, they've said, we may not understand it, but it makes us think.
I think... Go ahead.
I finished that one, and when I was going to press, I put on it book one, because I had a feeling there was going to be more than one Convoluted Universe, and now they're up to 4.
Yeah, 4. People are thirsting for the knowledge. They're thirsting for the knowledge that's in that book because there's just so many different things, and some of it may seem very out there, but not to the people that are experiencing them. And if you're getting even a few people in hypnotherapy who, you know, have these kinds of experiences, then there are many, many more out there. And the number of people that I think are being helped by reading these things and seeing these things that are happening to other people, I just can't think of anything better, except to maybe have it on CD so it could be played in the car.
Right, working on it.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Tell us
about
that.
That's the next project for all of the books is to do an audio. So that's just a, you know, it's a lofty project, but we can, you know, that's just one of my other things I'm going to start doing.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to run out of ideas. We're going all the time. Always something new coming up. But
I know. I've been reading all the new books. They're all so great. All the authors. I mean, I've got Payment for Passage in my hand right now by Janie Wells, and that is just, well, I mean, I have to tell you something. I hate to cry in public. I have to read this book when I'm by myself because I am crying all the way through it. It's so powerful and so impactful. And that Atlantis and the New Consciousness, I read that last month by Stuart Wilson and Joanna Prentice. That book was just so amazing. And the whole part about Sirius and the crash in Atlantis, I mean, it was just, I couldn't put it down. I don't know where you're finding these authors, but these books are just so great. So great.
Same place we found you.
Oh, we're coming to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, we get these hundreds and I get hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts submitted to me. And, you know, people wanting their books published, and I have to read all of them. And I'm the one that decides which one we publish, and I have to go through. I say I have to kiss a lot of frogs before I find a print, because the majority of it I send back. So that's how I find my books, is just people submit these things to us. But, you know, we had Janie on the show last week, and we were sitting here trying to keep from crying, just listening to her story.
Yeah, we're even... I was going to ask you, how much are you crying in it? I mean, there's no way to get through that book without crying.
I'm sobbing. I mean, I'm literally sobbing as I'm reading this book. And I do not like to cry in public. So, like I say, I just, well, you know, it's like when I see one of those psychic mediums on TV, like Lisa Williams or someone, and they go up to a stranger on the street and they start to give them a reading. I just weep and weep and weep. I can't help it.
Oh. But, you know, that's when I read a book, the manuscript is submitted, and then I'll say, if it gets me, you know, there's something different. It's got to have an angle, because we get so many that are the same old things. And a lot of people are writing about the same things right now.
Oh, sure.
We've already been there, done that. It's got to have an angle, and it's got to have a twist. But I know the minute I see a book that is good and we'll be able to go. And that's how I picked these anyway. And we've got how many more yet we have to print? We've got several more.
Or when?
Well, before the end of the year anyway.
There's like six or seven more books coming out before the end of the year.
And then we've got already scheduled for next year. But like I say, I go through hundreds before I find that one little jewel in there. And you, Sherry, you're a whole tiara, not just a jewel.
You know, Dolores, I remember the day that you called me. I thought it was one of my friends playing a joke on me. I really do. She said, Dolores said, "Have you published your book yet?" And I said, "No." "Well, we would like to publish your book." And I'm thinking, who is this? Who's calling me? It took a few minutes for her to sink in that I was actually speaking to Dolores Cannon.
But, you know, that's what happened last week. Janie said she was riding her bike when I called her. She got it on her cell phone. She's talking to me on her cell phone while she's riding a bike. And she didn't know.
I think she stopped her bike at that point.
I probably did.
I hope so.
I'm going to make her have a wreck with her bike, you know.
But that was a great phone call to get. Thank you.
But we, you know, I really enjoy all of our authors, and I like seeing them become successful.
Well, and that's what I'll say. See, Sherry, talk about, see, why you're reading all these. I mean, she's doing so many things. You're now doing a review column.
Well, I'm writing a metaphysical column for examiner.com. And as long as I'm doing that, it gives me an excellent excuse to read as many books as I want to, because I can say, well, it's for the column. I'm not really just sitting here being lazy and reading books. I'm working. I'm doing this for my column. But the examiner.com column has really taken off, and I've got now over 2,000 people that are reading that. And that's just amazing to me, because I just started it in December, and I've met so many fabulous people through it. And I started a Facebook author page, and I have, oh my God, I want to say almost 1,400 people that are part of that page. And I have been meeting the most wonderful people through that Facebook page and through the column. It's really amazing. You know, when you start to reach out, everyone is there waiting for you. And teaching me, too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But you're also doing workshops and lectures, too, aren't you?
A little bit. Now that I'm doing the column, the examiner.com column, I had to kind of cut back a little bit on workshops, because I was also trying to finish up my new book, which is tentatively titled Wake Up and Put Your Big Light Worker Pants On. So I just...
Good title.
I just finished that, and so now what I'm going to do is do some videos for YouTube, because I have a lot of people saying to me that oh, why aren't you on YouTube? I would like to listen to you talk about these things on YouTube. So when I get back from the conference, that's going to be the next project that I work on, you know, maybe to do 5 or 6 videos and get those out and get you the book, and then I'm going to get to work on my next book. It never ends.
Well, you know, We have the videos from the other conferences.
Right, but then she'll be doing like little things like what we're doing with you. That's an excellent idea because that's what people want now. They want, it's like
little
sound
snippets.
Like, yeah, snippets and stuff. They want to know things, hear from you. And,
because we have her talk from the other conferences, and we'll have this one.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people tell me, whatever you guys have put out on YouTube, I think from the very first one, maybe back in 2008, 2009 that I talked at, that part of that is out there, and a lot of people think that that's the full talk, but it's only maybe 10 minutes of it. But they say, oh, I didn't know about these things. I didn't know about Windows of Opportunity. So I know that a lot of people do go to YouTube. And so I do want to just get out some little snippets on how folks can spot those windows and spot their relationship villains and try to avoid karma, things like that. So I'm going to get to work on that, too.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do now to get it on YouTube. And that's what we found when I'm my lectures. People say, I just discovered you on YouTube, and I didn't know about you before. And I said, I haven't been hiding, but the internet generation is really, that's where it's all at. Everybody's on the internet now.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So that's the way to go. So I'm trying to lose a few pounds before I start to do those videos. You know, that camera adds 10 pounds on.
Nothing about.
I'm human. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell this funny story. The first was that the first time you came was when Helen Reddy was at the conference. Was that your first?
Yes.
Time?
Yes.
Remember you had the
yeah.
Fame?
Are you going to tell that story? Oh my God.
Yes.
Yes.
You tell that story.
Well, okay. Someone could not make the conference. My book wasn't going to be out until the next year, but somebody couldn't make the conference, and so you guys called me and asked me if I would fill in, which, of course, I jumped at the opportunity to do that. But I wanted to look good on stage, so I went to get my hair cut, and the person who normally does my hair wasn't in, and so I said to the person who owned the shop, do you have somebody who's really good with bangs, because the bangs are the most important thing to me? And she said, oh, yes, we have somebody who's great with bangs. So I go and I sit in that chair, and I don't even know why I stayed sitting in that chair. This woman destroyed my bangs. They were horrifying. And I left there, and I didn't know what to do, and I'm driving around, and I call my pal Heidi Winkler, and I'm screaming, crying, because I'm thinking, I've got to go up on stage. I've got to make a good impression on Dolores Cannon. And she says, well, go to a spa. And I said, I don't need a massage. I need bangs. And she says, no. Maybe they can put something in your hair to make the bangs thicker, you know? And I said, I don't know. I just don't know. So as I'm talking about that, I drive around the corner, and there's this spa. And I go in, and I, of course, I'm crying. And I said, look at me. Can you help me? And the woman puts me down. She pulls forward some of my other hair. She fixes my bangs. But meanwhile, I had taken a picture of what my bangs looked like. I was just, because I didn't think anybody would believe me. It was just so horrifying. So get to the conference, and I'm very nervous anyway. This is my first time. It's such a big thing. And there's Helen Reddy. You know, I am woman, one of my idols. And my girlfriend Heidi, who's with me, she starts to talk about this. And then Helen Reddy said something to the effect of, oh, Sherry, you're not going to be on the cover of Vogue magazine. You know, and so then I whipped out the picture and I handed her the camera, and she did this theatrical jump like she was seeing, you know, a monster from a horror movie. It was so hysterical.
It was
the way the way she did it. It was just so funny. But anyway, so that's my big Helen Reddy story, and I do tell that to a lot of people. Not how I would have wanted to meet her, but, you know, makes for a good story.
Well, you got to meet the real Helen Reddy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she's a hypnotherapist. I mean, she's amazing. Her book is amazing.
Yeah, she's turned into a really good friend of mine. I see her every time I go to Australia. I want to say something. I hope it's not out of place. But this show, you know, goes all over the world. And in England, we talk about our hair. Bangs is a dirty word.
Oh, is it really?
They call it fringe over there.
Yeah, they use fringe.
When you go into a beauty shop, I want you to do my fringe. So I'm sorry, people in England, if we have offended your sensibilities. That's what we call it over here.
You'll have to tell me off air what it means, what bangs means in England. Oh, I'll ask Guy Needler. Guy will tell me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're
after
coming.
He laughed.
Well, Sherry, we're coming up to time. We're going to have to sign off. Tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want to reach you.
Okay. Well, the easiest way is through my website, which is www.sherrycortland.com. That's SHERRICORTLAND.com. And through that website, you'll be able to find the links to my metaphysical columns at examiner.com, other articles at Hub Pages, and also to my Facebook author page. And, of course, you can always find me on the Ozark Mountain website.
That's right.
Yeah, they can get her through that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it won't be very long now. We'll be seeing you in person here.
I'll see you in 5 weeks.
Maybe another hair story to tell.
You know, Julia, that's so funny because I need to have my fringe trimmed, and I am afraid to go and do it.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to do it myself.
There you go.
It's 15
seconds.
The way the months are going so fast, it's going to be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
So we're looking forward to seeing you again. But we're going to have to sign off. So thanks, Sherry, for coming on tonight.
Thanks so much for having me on. I can't wait to see you in a few weeks.
Okay. And I want everybody else out there to remember the 7th Transformation Conference is July 13th to the 15th here in Rogers, Arkansas, in my own backyard. And we're going to have 3 days of it, and it's wonderful, wonderful speakers. So thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. And good night, everybody.